It's time now for the Bible Truth Broadcast with Dr. Ron Reynolds, pastor and Bible teacher. Listen now as Dr. Reynolds teaches the eternal truths of God's Word, the Bible.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another Bible Truth Broadcast with Pastors Ron and Tim Reynolds. Listen now as they preach the eternal truths of God's Word, the Bible.
Well, good morning, friends. Thank you for tuning in this morning to the Bible Truth Broadcast. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds, and before I bring the message this morning, I'd like to give you an invitation to visit the church where my dad, Dr. Ron Reynolds, and I co-pastor at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. Mount Vernon Baptist Temple is located on Route 37 South on Woodland Drive, here in the King City of Mount Vernon. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:15 this morning, and then we have our morning worship service that begins at 10 o'clock. Now, we still sing the traditional old-time hymns, and the pastor preaches a message from God's Word. And so we invite you to our 9:15 or 10 o'clock service. Then we also have a 1:30 afternoon service on Sundays. So we have three services that we invite you to if you do not have a home church. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights at 6:30. We have King's Kids Clubs for all of the children, while the adults meet in the auditorium for a time of prayer and Bible study. If you'd like to know more about Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, or maybe would like to have a ride to services, you can give us a call at 244-5404, and we'd be happy to provide transportation or tell you more about Mount Vernon Baptist Temple and our ministries. Well, the title of the message today is Infinite Possibilities. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." This is Jeremiah writing, and God is speaking to Jeremiah and telling him some things about his life even before he was born. You know, if you go into any kindergarten or first or second grade classroom and talk to some of the kids and ask what they would like to be when they grow up, you'll get a lot of interesting answers. You know, some might say they want to be a police officer or maybe a doctor or a nurse or a football player, professional basketball player. Our son, who's now 10, back when he was in kindergarten, his teacher asked what he wanted to be, and he said he wanted to be an ice cream truck driver. And I thought that was interesting. I don't know why he came up with that one, but now he says he wants to be a veterinarian, so he's changed that a little bit. But whatever the case is, you know, kids have different ideas and plans of what they would like to be. Well, since the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision in 1973 legalized abortion in the United States, more than 43 million potential police officers, doctors, nurses, football players, and ice cream truck drivers have been denied the right to life. And the message I'm going to bring this morning is along the lines of this topic of the right to life. I want to share with you some things that God's Word speaks about here regarding the unborn child. Number one, we see here that God knew you before you were born. Listen to what he tells Jeremiah in verse 5. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God isn't limited by space and time like we are. We're bound by space and by what we can see and by our five senses, and we're limited by time. We judge everything by a certain time of day or, you know, we'll say yesterday or next month. Everything has to do with time. God isn't bound like that, and it's difficult for our mind to grasp that time and space do not limit God. Because it tells us here that God knows the human being before he or she is even born and comes forth from the womb. Listen, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Well, we see right there that man's body was created. But yet he was a lifeless body laying there, formed out of the ground. And then the Bible goes on and says, "And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Right there, the first man, Adam, was given a spirit, the breath of God. So the human being is made up of body, spirit, and the last portion of the verse says, "And man became a living soul." So right there in Genesis 2:7, you have the three parts of man. You have the body, the spirit, and the soul. And according to the Bible, God knows our spirit and soul before our body is even born. Again, that's difficult for us to grasp, and I can't even completely understand it myself, let alone relate it. But the Bible tells us that in Romans 8 and verse 29. The Bible says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." So God foreknew us. God knew us before time that we were going to be born. So, first of all, we must understand that God knows the human being before he or she is even born. Then, number two, we see here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 that God formed you in the womb. Again, in verse 5, God says, "Before I formed thee," there's the important phrase, "I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." So, we can gather from that abortion is actually the killing of God's handiwork. It's not something that should be taken lightly. It's not something that, a life that has just evolved or a life that has just appeared, but the human body is actually formed as part of God's handiwork. David tells a little bit more, gives us more of a description in Psalms 139. In verse 13, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Speaking of the protective embryonic sac, also speaks of the flesh that begins to grow on the infant child in the womb. He says in verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The human being is a marvelous thing. You know, science cannot grow a human body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of Almighty God. We're not a product of chance or a product of evolution. We are God's creative work. Verse 15, David says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That is speaking of conception. I believe that life begins at conception. And what it says there, the lowest parts of the earth, that's a euphemism for the womb of the mother that the baby is protected in and begins to grow in. Verse 16 says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." That little unperfect-looking substance, if you've ever seen a sonogram picture, you can't hardly make out the little arms and legs and all. It's not really, doesn't look like much yet. And yet God sees that substance before it actually becomes a human being. And I think this is interesting. The Bible says, "In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Which tells us that God has every part of our makeup written down in his book. The Bible tells us that even the very hair of our head is numbered. God loves us that much and cares that much that he has a book that lists all of the members of each human being who has ever been born, who is living now, and whoever will be born. That tells us that we are special to God, that he formed us in the womb and cares about you and cares about me. I think something else interesting about that passage in Psalms 139, that was written 3,500 years ago, before there were x-rays and sonograms. How did David know these things about God seeing his substance before he was even a human being? Well, that tells us the divine inspiration of the Bible, because the Holy Spirit revealed that to David. And then number three, we see here that God established his purpose for you in the womb. I think sometimes we think God gives us a purpose when we get a certain age, you know, maybe when we turn 30 or 20 or whatever, that God all of a sudden comes up with some purpose. No, actually, God gives our purpose to us while we are in the womb. Listen there to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. God tells Jeremiah, "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee." Those words "sanctified" and "ordained" means to set apart. A crude illustration would be setting apart maybe some money. Let's say you're going to take a vacation this summer and you set aside some money that's going to be used for something that you have a specific purpose for. Well, in a sense, that's what God does. In the womb, God sets us aside for a purpose. That means that we're just not to live this life aimlessly without any purpose or any goal, but God has a set purpose for every person. The Apostle Paul believed this. He writes in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, "It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." Paul believed that God had separated him as early as in the womb to be saved by God's grace and then to preach the gospel to the lost world. And so God has a purpose for every person. He has a purpose for the unborn, and He has a purpose for every person who is alive today and who will be born. Now I want to share with you real quickly some things that Christians should do regarding this issue of the right to life. The first thing that we should do is we should speak out. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 8, "Open thy mouth for the dumb," speaking of those who cannot speak for themselves. That's what the dumb refers to. "In the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction." So listen, that little infant child that is appointed to destruction by abortion, someone needs to speak out. That child doesn't have a voice. They're not born yet. And so as Christians, we should voice our opinion. We have that right and responsibility to voice our opinion. And then I think it's important as Christians and as parents, as preachers, to teach our young people that the only safe sex is within the bonds of marriage. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." And so if we want to prevent a pregnancy before marriage and some of the diseases that are rampant in society today, we should teach our young people to save themselves until marriage. And then number three, I believe it's important that we show compassion and not condemnation. What if you know a young lady who has had an abortion, or maybe a young lady who has gotten pregnant before she's married? What do we do about that? Well, I believe we should have compassion on them. You know, it's too late to condemn them if the matter's already happened. Of course, they should ask for God's forgiveness and repent of that. But there's no sin that God does not forgive. We must remember that. There's no sin so awful that God cannot forgive it. And so a young person that maybe has made that decision or has gotten pregnant before marriage, we should have compassion on them and teach them that God forgives and they can just go on from here. Number four, I believe it's important that we pray. That's probably the first thing that we all should do as Christians is pray. We should pray for our nation to turn to God. We should pray for families to be strong, and we should pray for the morality of our nation. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, "If my people," see, my people there, speaking of God's people, "my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We are responsible to pray for our leaders and pray for our nation to turn to God. And then lastly, I think it's important that we support Christian ministries that offer alternatives to unwed mothers and to those who are considering abortion. There are many great Christian ministries out there today. I think of Angels Cove here in Mount Vernon. Our church in Waltonville supports the Baptist Children's Home on a monthly basis, and Angels Cove is part of that. The Angels Cove ministry gives support to unwed mothers, gives them a place to stay. Maybe they don't have a home, and it gives them kind of a foundation to be able to have the baby and get them some clothes and some food and help them get on their feet. We need to support ministries like that. I think it's important to support adoption ministries. Adoption is something that is close to my heart and my wife's heart because we have gone through that process before. And there are many couples that would love to adopt children. We should encourage those ministries and support those ministries who offer the adoption alternative. Well, I'll close the message with this. You know, our focus as Christians and I believe as preachers is not to stop abortions. You say, what? I thought that's what we were to do, was to stop abortions. No, that's not really our focus. Our focus is not to stop social ills like abortion, pornography, drug and alcohol addiction, hunger. These are all symptoms of something bigger. And they're all symptoms of man's wicked heart. See, our focus is not to just change the abortion laws. Our focus and purpose is not to feed the hungry and help the poor. Those things are all fine things to do, but that's not our primary focus. The primary focus as believers is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave the command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our focus. His behavior will not change until his heart is changed. And so all we do, if we make our focus all on abortion or our focus on these other social ills, we're just making this world maybe a better place, but man's heart is not changed. And the only thing that will change man's heart is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once that heart is changed, then man's behavior will change. So that remains our primary responsibility. You say, Pastor Tim, what about these millions of babies that have been aborted? Where do you think they are? Well, I believe today they're in heaven. I believe that they are safe in the arms of God the Father. I believe we'll see them one day. Now, I don't think they're just crawling around heaven as little babies. I believe that they will be in some sort of adult age. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about that. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I believe that they will be there. I believe they'll be in heaven because that life begins at conception, and that life is precious. The unborn life is precious to God. Well, I pray the message has been an informative message for you and an encouragement today. Let me encourage you again to be in church somewhere. If you don't have a home church, we invite you to Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. Again, our morning service begins at 10 o'clock, and you can call us at 244-5404 if you'd like more information about the ministries of Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. It's been a joy to be with you. Until next week, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
Thank you so much for tuning in the Bible Truth broadcast today. If you believe in what Pastors Ron and Tim Reynolds are preaching, please consider becoming their radio partner. Help them get the truths of God's Word to this generation. Just send any size offering to Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for your help. Until next Sunday, may God bless you is our prayer.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Truth Broadcast today. If you would like to be a Bible Truth Broadcast radio partner to help spread God's Word to Southern Illinois and the surrounding area, you may send your gift to the Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.